And we are back here once again with another episode of the Iron Man Podcast, episode 379, with Mr., you know, the Road to Wisdom, aka Danny, aka Comic Chat. It's going to be his second appearance once again. He was last on episode 162. Wow. So if you guys want to go and get his origin story and, you know, how he got into YouTube and everything, go and check that episode out. That way, you know, gotta get the origin story out of the way first. You know, it comes to, you know, superhero stuff. You know, get that out of the way. It's all done. Now you can start having a good time after that. I want to start this off differently.
Comic Chat.
Okay. I found my Infinity Gauntlet trade paperback, actually. And just saying, that Infinity Gauntlet is...
I had a t-shirt with the Infinity Gauntlet, the Iron Man Infinity Gauntlet. I don't know what I did with it. I got like a closet full of t-shirts.
Dude, right?
Like, are you buying anymore? And I was like...
I was probably in my closet a few moments ago before I did my other podcast, the League One. I was trying to find some comics that I bought, some trade paperbacks, but I can't find them. I know I have them. I know I moved with them. But I know I physically saw myself put these things in the bin.
My comics. There's an app you can go on. It was 6 months behind, but man, you get expensive, man. Those comic books, like, I can remember as old as I am, comics were 25 cents. 25 cents.
I don't have a comic shop around me. Yeah, for me, I don't have a comic book shop around me. So the shipping on each book is somewhere near like $3.99 to $4.99.
You live in San Diego, right?
No, I live in a... I can't say the town. I'm basically like 2 hours out from LA, where we have like decent stuff here, but we don't have a comic shop around me. The nearest comic book shop is about 30 minutes down the hill in like Hesperia, actually.
I was stationed in Camp Pendleton, and they had one right in San Diego. It's like one of the biggest ones ever. But here now in South Carolina, we have the second largest comic book store on the East Coast.
Lords, what? Man, you are so lucky. Man, if I had a comic shop around me, I'd be doing hauls every week. Oh, my God, man.
It's like probably 45 minutes from my house.
Really?
And but, man, when I first saw it, I introduced my grandsons to it, mm-hmm. and they want to go every time. But in this store, it has, like, comic books, like, rows and rows and rows of them. They got a corner that's only Star Wars stuff. And when you go in that corner with Star Wars stuff, it's every conceivable bust. Every helmet, every lightsaber, every toy is crazy. So you can go in there and literally spend all day in there and not see everything. It is humongous.
Bruh. I get so jealous of you guys sometimes. You guys tell me how much you have that stuff. I wish I had that stuff around here, man. Oh, my God.
No, because I like my money. Some people are buying more comic books than they're not paying the bills. Nah, that ain't me.
Yeah, for me, I go on a website called leagueofcomicsgeeks.com. You can put stuff in a wish list. They tell you everything that's getting released in that week. Some weeks I buy more than others because, like, this last week that just happened, I only bought two books because there was nothing else that came out.
The owner there, he gives me the books, like DC books and the Marvel books, and I just stroll through it, and then if I want something, I highlight it, send him a text. He pull on the pull list, and then when it comes in, because the last thing I pull, I don't know if you read this. I'm a Batman fan. The Deadly Duo, Batman and Joker. It was like a 7 or 8 book.
And was that in? Book. Was that Rebirth or that was New 52?
No, I don't think it was a Rebirth. I'm not different New 52, but Silvestri, I think the artist's name.
He did this. You're talking about. Oh God, freak! Okay, crazy.
That was the last book. Batman. That's the last one I read last year. I'm a Batman fan, but this one was really because Joker, really is my favorite Batman villain. But on this one, the Joker learned he had he was privy to knowing he had information to know who Batman was, but he didn't want to do it because he wanted to do it himself.
Yeah, and, it's crazy. I know what you're talking about. That book you're talking about, I was thinking, that Rebirth? No. If you're interested to know what that book is, it's a book by Mark Silvestri. Yes. Oh, my God. This book's art is just fantastic. If I could jizz on pages, you know, I would jizz on these. This book is really good, actually. The art is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The book is great. So, man, there's been a lot that's happened. honestly. We'll start here. You know, you're a big Dragon Ball Z fan, like myself. I've been around Dragon Ball Z since I was a little boy. Just be honest here. Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball in general, this is the Dragon Ball franchise. Outside of maybe a few of the properties, what, like, thing do you know that made an impact the way this, like, franchise did? Like, I swear, man, this franchise made people feel, think, and do things that weren't even imaginable in their
head. I never knew anything about anime until I was introduced to that. I don't like Dragon Ball. I skipped over Dragon Ball, never watched. Maybe watched 10 episodes of Dragon Ball. I immediately got my feet wet with Dragon Ball Z, and I immediately gravitated towards Vegeta. He's my favorite character. His arc, to me, is the best arc out of all of them. The way he goes back and forth, sometimes him and Goku are cool, or he calls him Kakarot. And sometimes they're butt heads and they team up. I love that comparison. I love that back and forth between them. Piccolo's another favorite one of mine. I'm not a big fan of Gohan. You know, some people are, and they're like, well, I don't like Gohan because
they disagree with us when we brought that up. K-Dot had that anime tier list, and they were like, you guys don't like Goku. It's not that I hate Gohan. It's more like I don't think he deserves to be the main character.
He doesn't take it seriously. He doesn't think, and what really killed me too, when he went to the Saiyan Man, whatever that was, I really lost respect for him there. My main three.
Yeah.
Vegeta is one, Piccolo is two, Goku is three. I like Trunks. But Piccolo and Vegeta are my favorite two.
What was your first thoughts when you heard the news that Akira Toriyama was dead?
I was like, man, they're going to do Super Part 2. What's his successor? I mean, is he going to have the same energy and the same flair, the same desire that, I can't say his name, but
Toriyama?
Toriyama had? That's what I was like. Man, I hope his successor has the passion that he had. That's one of the first things I said. And this guy, I didn't know he was sick or ill. It's going to be the anime world has definitely lost one of his pioneers, and I saw some people. A lot of people were like crying and upset. I mean, I'm not crying and upset about him, and I'm not trying to say it to be insensitive. I didn't know him personally, I only know Dragon Ball Z as anime. Other stuff I watch, but Dragon Ball Z is my go-to anime, and I think Super is the best. I don't care what anybody say. I know people like Frieza Saga and they like the Cell Saga. And the Boo Saga, that's all well, but to me, Super was really, really grabbed my attention. I didn't miss it. Near an episode. But I hope that his successor or whoever take over the reins will deal with it with respect and have that same energy and vigor and creativity that he had. Wait to see what's next.
Yeah, man, this is an anime. I think I've had everything from shirts to toys to
physical
merchandise, man. I had everything from this.
I had a action figure about that big.
Yeah.
Never taken out of the box. It was Goku, and he was in what's the company that Bulma didn't work for?
Breeze Corporations, Corpse, right?
Or Corpse.
Or whatever. Corpse. Yeah.
Whatever it is, he was in one of those uniforms, and my grandson saw it. And he was like, "I want that," and I was like, bro, you know what this is? You know what this is? And then, but everywhere I would go,
yeah,
I see a T-shirt, Dragon Ball Z T-shirt. I probably got about 10 of them in my closet now. I ordered some offline, but Vegeta shirts would always gravitate towards two. I think I maybe got two.
This is crazy, man. That growing up and coming home and watching new episodes drop, I would be so happy. Even the filler episodes too, you were just happy that you got something new of Dragon Ball. I just remember back in the day, a fucking dude was trying to go Super Saiyan, black guy trying to go Super Saiyan.
Oh yeah, if you watch Fatal J channels, we watch Dark Council. They use it all the time. If somebody sends in a super chat.
I'll be honest, man. That guy's probably Ultra Instinct by now, man.
He gotta be, man.
My god, man.
I think there's one where somebody actually put where his hair turns yellow and his eyes are green. Somebody added that especially. Oh my god.
That guy's probably going
to give him A right for now. Effort, boy. I know he busts a blood vessel.
That, oh man. But how's it been for YouTube, actually?
I changed directions, swag, because last year I became more spiritual. I got saved.
Yeah, remember you told me last time. Yeah.
I changed from, I still do the comic book stuff and I still do shows, but I'm focusing more on my channel now. I don't know. I haven't got the formula right yet because I can't get off of 1,570 subscribers. I've been stuck on there for seems like years
now. Like just curse or something.
Yeah, but I'm happy with what I'm doing. At first, I was doing it every day, and that became like, whew, man, between work and life and other stuff, it's hard to come up with content every day at 7 a.m. in the morning. So I broke it down from 5 days a week to now I do it 3 days a week, and that's much easier because I have a day in between to like study my stuff and find something to talk about and sit down and write the correct outline and notes for it. So that seems to be better for me. But I enjoy it. I was like, I wonder how people are going to take this, because if you watch before April of last year, I used a lot of cursing and a lot of different stuff. Now I watch all that, and it may slip here and there, but I kind of watch, and I have a different outlook on life and going a different direction, and I just try to do different things. I watch what channels I go on. I watch things that I say, and just try to be more careful and more cognizant of what I'm saying, because I don't want to portray like, man, Danny, he's one way on this channel. Well, no, I mean, I've changed. I'm still human. But I'm trying to live better and do better. So that's mainly what I'm focusing on. And I'm trying to, one thing about YouTube, I see a lot of negativity out here, a lot of it. I mean, people hate stuff for the sake of hating stuff. I'm not coming like that. I mean, we're not always going to agree. If I don't agree
with you, what do you mean? I'm not going to agree with a random person I don't know? What? Yeah. Crazy.
But like cussing and going back and forth like I see people do on X, only time you see me on X is when I'm promoting, hey, my show about to come on, or show about to come on, or Chris Knight, guys I stream with. But like having these conversations back and forth, nah. I mean, I got to work. So I don't understand how some of these people, there's some people, I'm not calling any names. When I wake up in the morning, I usually wake up around about 6:30, 7 o'clock to go to work. And it's ding! Or I finally cut that notification off. But if I look on my phone, it vibrates. They have X. And it's all day. And I'm like, how are these people working? Do they have a job? I mean, I don't understand it. But I guess
I never got that either, man. Like, I never got – there are people that are literally terminally online – just on X or Twitter, or whatever they want to call it, like Facebook or Instagram, all that stuff. It's like, bro, like, and you gotta go outside and touch some grass. You got a job? They're like, but then they say that job.
I got three jobs.
I don't know how you do that, man. You're insane, man.
You gotta do it, man, because nobody's gonna give you nothing. I believe in working hard. I believe in being independent. Before I borrow $100 from you, I can go out and do something and get it myself. So, what I do is I'm full-time law enforcement. In the afternoons, I work for another place, and that's sporadic. Maybe like one or two.
So the other jobs you have are mostly just part-time.
I control, I control that. I control the hours I work.
Okay. Because I want to ask you about that too, because the law enforcement thing, I won't say the exact thing, because you always get that private.
Yeah.
But so there have been a lot of issues when it comes to like the job that you're in. And other states, right? And the people don't understand, when it comes to the thing that you specifically do, one bad apple ruins everything. Everything. I told you before, when I first met you, I was going to be that too. And a lot of people just don't know certain things because they never went through it. Because they won't understand procedures you have to do. They won't understand, like, you have to do certain things. You know, people don't understand, like, why didn't this X show up at the situation? Well, if you got three guys on duty, two other dudes called off, I mean, you might only got three guys running the city. You know what I mean? That's how it is.
Yeah, most TV shows that you see, that's where a lot of people get their information from. Well, I saw this on Chicago Fire. Or I saw this on The Rookie. Or I saw this. Some of that stuff is true, but some of it is most glorified.
Yeah.
Like, you're not LAPD. They are a multi billion-dollar, not million-dollar, but billion-dollar department. Mm-hmm. They got all the bells and whistles, all this kind of stuff. So you're going to see all that cool stuff that you see on there. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these local towns, small departments, don't have that technology. They don't have the manpower. And then you, whatever resources you have to allocate those in the hot places. You can't be everywhere at one time. It would be nice if you could, but then one or two people in this profession does something crazy that makes national news, then the perception is that that whole profession is evil and crooks and that kind of stuff. And especially law enforcement has taken a beating. It's kind of eased up some now, but a few years ago, with the George Floyd thing, and before that, it was like...
With the Antifa situation to the same year?
Everything. Black people be getting killed by white cops. Black people getting killed by white... And it was... I can't deny that. For a while, it was happening, seemed to be every other day. But at the same token, that's only a small percentage of where that's happening at. That's not in every state. But they take it, and then they blow it up, and it makes like it's in every state. And I can tell you where I'm from. I don't know somebody for a fact that I think needs to be out of law enforcement because they're doing some crazy racial stupid stuff. Because if I did, I'd be reporting it. Mm-hmm. Now they may be undercover, deep undercover, that I can't see it because some people can hide their stuff. They can hide it, and then
you just never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
to actually know it and see and have red flags and indicators that this individual right here is going to hurt somebody, or this individual right here is going to say something crazy out of character or unprofessional or racial. I don't know that. I don't know anyone like that.
But the other thing that I was always looking into is, you know, because like back a few years ago, there was some conversations that I was around where it was always like kind of making like black people always feel like the victim. And the more I looked into the stuff, because, you know, like sometimes I'll go like, all right, this is person's opinion. It's whatever. Right. But I go and look into the information and it's like, it's not true. Whatever they're hearing is not true. Whatever they're parroting is not true. Like the statistics are there. People want to look at them. Black people cause a good amount of the crime, honestly. A lot of it, actually, you know, in certain areas, obviously every area depends.
Yeah, you know? In certain times, I guess there's more prevalent black on black crime, so to speak. I don't know the numbers. I'm not going to sit here and speak on that.
I haven't looked at them in about a couple of years. The last time I looked, it was mostly that a black person will be the aggressor onto a white person than the other way around that people would make it seem, you know?
I think that what part of the country you stay. I'm not going to necessarily say that as a...
Yeah, because like each state is so different. You know, because that's what people don't understand, man. Each state is so different with how their crime is, how their laws are enforced, what level of people can be
now,
out there.
What I'm seeing now, since in the political ring, certain ex-presidents and now running for office, I don't want to call their names. They're like giving a particular demographic, like they pumping them up. They're saying stuff they normally wouldn't say. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, one demographic says something to another demographic, and the demographic ain't trying to hear that, then that's what causes confusion.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, one demographic is more verbal and try to say stuff that's slick out of the mouth.
Yeah.
The other demographic ain't trying to hear that, and then they get confrontational, and then that's where the issues come in. So I won't say that the black demographic is more aggressive or causes more whatever. I think both demographics or multiple demographics are doing it now because it seems to be the acceptable thing. It seems to be the direction of culture is leading to, which is sad to me and unfortunate.
Complete degeneracy.
Because somebody told me something crazy. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh? Somebody, I had a conversation about 4 or 5 days ago, and this individual said, you know, I thought racism was about dead and was about gone until President Obama became president, and then it seemed to come back to life. And I was like, huh? Did you just say what I thought you said? I said, that statement alone is crazy. I said, because if racism was dead like you believe it was, you mean to tell me because one person, a person of color, becomes president of the United States and then automatically re-energizes racism and breathes life back into it and raised from the dead? I said, if that's the case, it never was dead. And this person was like, well, just to be, and of course, it's the opposite demographic of me, even that person that said it. I just kind of look and I was like,
wow. Well, you know what it is a lot of time, dude? It's a lot of out of sight, out of mind. That's a lot of people's lives. That's mostly everyone's life. If you don't see it in front of you, you don't think it's happening. Or if it doesn't happen enough in front of you, you think it's not like exactly a big deal either. Yeah. You know? A lot of people are just like politically neutral. Let's be honest with you, most people are just like NPCs. Most people just regurgitate downloaded things they've already heard. You know?
You got a black president. What more do you want? You got a black athlete. What more do you want? You got
this, like, he wasn't really, really black, or I was Muslim.
I'm like, bro, we want equality like everybody else. We want the same set of rules as everybody else. We don't want a different set of rules, or we don't want to be perceived a certain way. We want to be perceived the same way as this demographic. No, well, this demographic used to be this. Well, this demographic, women's are angry and all this kind of stuff. No, this demographic has been, in my opinion, been held under the thumb for so long, and now that there seems to be opportunities to advance and stuff, and you're not getting their fair shake, then they're being more vocal. Mm-hmm. 30, 40 years ago, you'd be vocal, you're hanging in a tree, or you're getting killed or something. Now, you're not getting that because time has evolved some, but now, 40, 50 years ago, you had to bite your tongue. You had to take your head off and say, Lord, boss, I'm right. Now, them days is over with. So, I mean, be careful of the bear you poke, is all I'm saying. Be careful of the bear you poke. For me, I've been involved in an interracial marriage for almost 30 years. I've seen both sides. I've been called this. I've been called that. I've been treated this way. I've been treated that way. But at the end of the day, I treat individuals the way they treat me. I don't have no preconceived notion that this black man is going to be my friend and this white man is going to be my enemy. No, I got to talk to them because everyone that looks like me is not my friend. Everyone that doesn't look like me is not my enemy. I think if everybody looked at life with that mentality, it would be a whole lot better. But I just try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And if you don't treat me the way I want to be treated, then I go ahead and keep it moving. I don't sit there and trade insults or allow that person to get me angry or out of my character. I just, okay, you ain't my cup of tea, I ain't your cup of tea. Nice meeting you. Go on to the next person.
The thing that I would bring up to that is, like, I think people have to understand media is, like, designed to propagate certain things for you to believe. So, like, whatever is going to get them the best ratings, let's just say if, like, black people doing crime is going to get them the best ratings, let's be honest here, they have no morals. They will tell you that. They will tell you all that. But if it doesn't, and if the people above them go, you know, don't talk about black people this way, it's going to make us look bad, they'll flip it. Anything. Literally anything. People, like, I don't get why people don't see that. It's like, these people aren't to be trusted. They will literally tell you factually wrong things that you have to go look up yourself and be like, you're straight up lying. We just had that trans shooter out in Nashville. They didn't want to release the manifesto to people. And it's like, wait a minute, we should know what's going on in these people's brains to understand, like, okay, people are insane. You know, if the people that are in charge supposed to give you the information don't even tell you what's going on, or you can't trust them to give you the accurate information, it's like, then what are you useful for then? You know, you're just a propaganda machine. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
they think the people can't handle the truth. That's mostly what it is. They think people can't handle the truth, so they'll just, you know.
I got kind of, I won't say bashed, but I got kind of criticized and like, are you crazy? I think in most things in life, there's always a period where you can adapt and make things better and modify when things are out of date. I think some of the, I say this. I think some of the Constitution needs to be modified because this thing was written back in 1776, somewhere back in the 1700s.
Long time ago. Yeah.
So some of these things don't apply now, but we are holding doctrine to something that was written centuries ago and still trying to figure out that it's still good for today. And I don't think that's because just like the 8-track became the cassette. The cassette became the CD. CD now becomes the iPod player. The iPod player now becomes, I don't even think people have iPods anymore. They have their phone. You can download music on your phone and listen to your phone. So as things evolve and get improvement and modify, I think there's some parts of the Constitution that we need to modify. But boy, when you say that, they'd be like, what? Are you crazy? I'm just telling you.
They'll probably call you a libertarian or some shit like that.
I mean, I'm not saying every year, but
I don't disagree either. Yeah.
Every 25 years, let's just take a look at it. Hey, is there something there that we need to add, something that we need to delete because it doesn't apply to this? It doesn't does this. But they're acting like the Constitution is the greatest thing written since the Bible, and it does not need to be changed. I just don't believe that. I just don't.
Yeah. No, man, that's the thing, too, is how, because the values of the people back then, we said 1776, right? Mm-hmm. So the values of people from about 300 years ago would definitely almost not apply now. I guess certain things are just universal. I guess it's how some of them would have to apply. It's like, I was watching this reel a few days ago, and I was like, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. You'll have, like, parents who will tell their kids about financial stuff, you know, about buying a house and 401ks and all that stuff. But people got to factor in, like, people from, like your parents' generation was, like, a while ago. And the same financial advice they would give you can't really apply to your generation or even my own because, you know, the type of economy was different then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, I see what you're saying. Like, certain time periods of life can't apply to others because of just, like, massive changes, structural, how people think, how people view things, mm-hmm. what level of technology's at your disposal, you know? Oh, my God. What a great place life is.
Yeah, when you start talking about that Constitution, man, you ruffle some feathers. I was having a conversation with a gentleman about this. I was like, bro, things got to change. I mean, I just added up 237 years ago. 237 years ago, the Constitution was written, 1787. I just looked it up. So you mean to tell me in 237 years, there ain't nothing we might need to modify, update, change, delete? It doesn't make sense to me.
I said the same thing to a friend of mine. We were talking about sending money to the Israel, not that war, the other one before that, the one with Russia. And mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I have no problem with helping someone out. I've always been someone my whole life. My mom always told me, make sure you are taken care of first before you take care of anybody else. I'm pretty sure you guys grew up with that saying too. Your parents always said, take care of yourself first before anybody else. And I always said was, hey, we should take care of our own people first before we take care of anybody else.
I agree.
Like, people are saying, America's not looked good from those people. We know this. Like, people talk massive shit about us all the time. They know this is public. We know this. This is not like something they're hiding. America's not
I don't understand why when some countries in need, we feel a need to just print out this
alliance
money
treaty. We have alliances with them. This is how it is.
Yeah, but like, sending these billions of dollars to these companies, I mean, to these countries and places, and we never get it back. But then, if you go to the grocery store now, you're lucky to get 10 things.
And not pay $100. Dude, yesterday I was at the Dollar General. My usual bill, I go to get food every 2 weeks, it's like $50 or like to $70 or something like that. I know it's obviously more just family, but like, man, it's like almost for me, like $70 every 2 weeks when I go, right. You know? I don't know how it is for you guys out there, but like, bro.
Five people in my house. Five people. Two boys.
You got like what, three kids? I think you said three kids, a wife.
I got two grandkids, wife, and my daughter, youngest daughter.
God. So I imagine your food bill is probably like, what, $300 sometimes, man, you go?
$250 easy. You got the dinner. If you go out to dinners now, I know I'm going to break 100.
How much you go to the movies, though?
Our movies here is $10.
Okay.
So we never go together, but if we were, it would be $50 for my family just to get in.
Yeah, I remember you said you take your grandson to
take my grandsons.
Yeah.
They were big when the MCU was hot, but now I can't hardly force them to go. I mean, they're like, nah, we good.
They got some Bates grandkids. They know the MCU quality went down. They're like,
but I know if I do go, I know it's going to be at least $40 because it's 30 for us to get in. Just to get in, then they're gonna get like the kids. One of my grandsons, he always gets the candy, popcorn, and the little drink. That's about $10.
Right.
My other grandson, he gets a drink and a big bag of candy. That's about 7 or 8. Then I always get the nachos in the drink.
Me too.
That's about another 12.
Chili cheese nachos hit so pretty hard. So you're
looking at 60, 70 bucks easy.
Do you have the one where you get the like the pizza and the chicken too? The chicken wings?
We don't have chicken wings, but we have pizza, hot dogs, popcorn, different kind of candies.
Oh, God, that pizza slaps pretty hard, nachos. Man.
No, I love the we got 3 different kind of pretzels. We just got the regular pretzel, salted pretzel. Mm-hmm. Then we got a cinnamon pretzel. Then we get a salted pretzel, and you dip it in cheese. Oh, my God. And they're hot, too. They're like,
Every time I'm going to movies as a kid, I never had the pretzels. I've never been a huge pretzel guy.
They're not even like small. They're like huge. You get one big one.
God, man.
The cinnamon one is, it's fire.
We went to go see Fast X with my ex and her sister and her another guy. Oh, my God. The chicken wings. And I was sitting back watching like Fast X. Oh, my God. I'm saying, guys, but you got the nice hot movie theater food. Right when you get it, whoo, that shit is so good.
See, like Robert Storm, I stream with him, and he showed us like their theaters, like they're like the lounge chairs. You can like kind of lay them and stuff.
That's true. We have those here.
Mine's aren't that nice. It's a basic theater. In fact, I was saying I've never been in IMAX theater. Never seen anything in IMAX. So I'm waiting for the perfect movie. Uh-huh. We have an IMAX, but it's okay. My theater from my house that I go to, 10-15 minutes max.
Yeah, okay.
IMAX is 45 minutes. So why am I going to drive 45 minutes for a movie I may or may not like, pay double, and then I'm like, because the first thing I always ask myself when I walk out of the theater, did I just waste my 10 bucks?
Yeah.
And if I drive 45 minutes, walk out of the theater and say, did I just waste 25 bucks, and I wasted, I'm going to be pretty upset. So I'm going to wait till like a Star Wars movie or a new MCU movie I think is going to be fire. To have that experience in IMAX, and I'm just not prepared to drive 45 minutes every day just because it may be a bigger screen and louder. And then
we have a basic theater like that too. We just got the recliner chairs, but they don't recline. The guy has to come in and do it. He said, but he charges like a pretty penny for that. And I don't even need my chairs to recline. I'm good just sitting in a nice seat right there.
I mean, my man came down. I bought 2 new recliners.
Really?
They recline all the way back, and they be chilling. I said, man, if that movie is boring, y'all gonna be mad at me because you're gonna be hearing.
Okay, I would do that with Dune, man. Like Dune Part One made me do that back when it was released on day and date and stuff. When Warner Brothers did that thing, snoring, I was like, bro, Dune put me to sleep. I don't think it was a bad movie. I think it was boring.
I heard the second part is fire. What I've been told, I haven't gone to see it.
You see the first one?
I saw the first one. The first one's on video on demand. I've seen it. I've seen parts of it. I think I saw up to like when Jason Momoa got killed.
Okay.
Then I think the original is the best. I've watched the original several times.
Okay, gotcha.
Patrick Stewart and I can't think of the guy that played Paul Atreides, but Sting was in it. And I love that movie, the original. I'm probably gonna wait to see this second. We were on Storm's Lab earlier tonight, and me and the other three guys, Robert, Guy Scar, and DJ, they went. They saw the new Ghostbusters, but I heard such bad reviews. I'm like, if I hear people that I trust opinion, and they're saying this, man, I don't want to go see it unless it's something that I know we're really gonna talk about.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just going to wait till the video.
The first movie I'll be going back to the theaters to see is Godzilla vs. Kong 2.
Already see that.
Okay.
I'm going to see that. But I boycott all MCU movies for this year because of how they did a Jonathan Majors. So I'm not going to see any MCU movies in the theater. And the only one this year is going to be, I'm not going to the theater to see it. No. I think they did Jonathan Majors wrong. One of the charges wasn't even a crime, it was more like a misdemeanor. Ticket and the other thing was like he didn't mean to do it. There was no intent behind it. So I'm like, bruh.
Yeah, okay. So that's man. What I'm talking about. Yeah, because the problem that a lot of people didn't see, because a lot of people just saw the verdict guilty. And you know, for most cases, people would be like, okay, you did it. If people actually read what his attorney said happened with the situation, your mind be like, wait, what? I promise you what, because I can't remember it right now because I had that video. come out on my other YouTube channel that's not here, obviously. His attorney, the testimony he gave his attorney, compare that to hers, bruh. That thing is, he did, it was proven he didn't intentionally, maliciously try to hurt her.
That's correct.
That's like, whoa. That changes the entire thing then. He exactly. didn't maliciously want to hurt her. Okay, can he can keep his job, though. He didn't mean to hurt her. No.
Yeah, it was an accident. And I mean, they destroyed his man's career. They destroyed his man's career. I was just talking tonight. I think that someone said, like, well, I don't think Kang would be good enough, as good as Thanos and stuff. I said, look, I'm with you on Quantumania, because Quantumania isn't one of my favorite movies. It's not even in my top 10. I say, but what gave me hope is when we see the end scene credit and we see all the Kangs in that arena and we see the top three Kangs and they're plotting to say, look, the guy, this other Kang, he escaped and this, that, and the other, and this. I said, that had potential, that had possibilities. Mm-hmm. If Kevin Feige get back in the driver's seat, man, he could really do something with that. There's a couple people in the chat that agree with me. But now, I mean, I don't know what direction they're going in. And now we're seeing this X-Men 97, and we're seeing the end scene credit with the Beast in it and that kind of stuff in the Marvels. So
yeah, I'm watching X-Men 97 tonight. So I'm gonna do reviews in the episodes. I told people I wasn't gonna watch it. I was like, I'll watch it. You know, it had a lot of stupid things announced about it, like that morph non-binary crap. But I told people this before. The people that announce that stuff, most of the time, you watch the actual product put out, most of the time, it's not really that big of a deal. It's mostly not even referenced. It's basically actors trying to just gauge attention and more followers on the social media.
Two things they're talking about that's crazy. The morph thing was one, and then a cartoon's butt not being big as it was in 1997.
Oh, Rogue's ass.
Who cares about Rogue's butt? Oh, my Lord. The two things I didn't like. I didn't like.
Rogue's ass is juicy.
I did not like Magneto's new costume. You'll see it if you haven't seen it already. I'm a fan of the old costume with the helmet. In this particular version of X-Men, he does have that on. And then his jawline, he looks feminine. And then I listened to one guy on X, he's like, man, he looks like Granny Goodness off of Super Friends. And I was like, Granny Goodness. So I pull up a picture, and he pull up a picture on there. And it's similar. I'm like, he ain't lying. So the artwork with Magneto and the uniform he has on, he's wearing now, looks feminine. And he has a feminine look to him that I don't really particularly care for. But as far as the story and the lines and what he's saying is fire. So I definitely give it two thumbs up.
Yeah, that storyline. Oh, goodness gracious. Because it's a real problem when people talk about adapting comics. You know, the average person, let's be honest, average people we know are going to know that stuff. It's like the people that don't know that the comics very well, or like even specific storylines, they can't even tell you if that storyline was good. A lot of people say, but it happened in the comic books. But that person wouldn't even tell you that that's a good or bad story, though. It's like, that's the most like fucking downloaded response ever. It's like, happened in the books. That doesn't make it good.
Yeah. What then when they do know, like somebody said in the chat today, I don't like that uniform you have on. And they say in the chat, well, Danny, it's in the comic books. I said, I understand it's in the comic books. I know it's in the comic books. I've seen the cover. And the cover on the comic book cover is exactly what they show in the second episode. I said, but I didn't like it in the comic books, so I'm not going to like it in the cartoon version. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean the story is bad. I just don't like that particular uniform. If you watch Batman, there's some Batman uniforms that I don't like. There was some, like in live action, I didn't care for George Clooney Batman outfit. I just didn't care for it. But I did like Ben Affleck. I like Michael Keaton's. Kind of sort of like Val Kilmer's. But I didn't care for George Clooney's. I mean, and Christian Bale's was fine. But just because it's Batman, just because it's Shazam or Superman, whatever, I didn't like it. I just didn't.
I gotta brush up on that story. I haven't heard of that story in forever. The one with Magneto and him having a kid. Man, I gotta really dig in my memory to remember that story.
Bro. Well, he had two kids. Quicksilver and Wanda's his kids.
Yeah. But didn't those come after that But that's
because he timeline. Then you get a third girl, a third child too. She a female. Yeah. I forget what her powers are.
Lord, man.
That was on the original X-Men.
Yeah. God, but, Lord.
Like, what I didn't know in this one is that him and Rogue had a romantic relationship. I don't want to spoil it, but
that's the thing is, when it came to me, and I told you my story with comic books, I had to kind of get them in like obscure ways. I had to kind of read about the characters. X-Men was the ones that I did read a decent amount of stuff, but there's a lot in X-Men's mythos and history that is just... Because you have certain stories where like that'll happen and then it's just gone the next story. Like they'll do some time travel thing or this will happen or this will happen. And it's like, bruh, oh my God. You have X-Men 97. And then there was the rumor that came out. I mean, it could be true or not true that they're going to be canning Eternals 2. They're going to be no more Ant-Man movies, no more Captain Marvel sequels. And I was like, I mean, I didn't like Eternals at all, honestly. I was like, oh, that's fine to cancel for me. Like, was Eternals need? Did Eternals need a second movie? Because that first one is pretty bad, actually. No. Yeah. Ant-Man already had a trilogy. Like, Ant-Man already has three movies. Like, you ever think how good or bad they are, you know?
But Eternals, I didn't mind the girl that could run fast. I can't think of her name. Sakari, I think it was something like that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. The guy that played, they had the Superman-like powers, he was cool.
I think it was like but, Icarus, I think, right?
Icarus.
Yeah.
But other than that, snooze fest. The end, it was kind of good. The end scene credit, the potential it had with Blade and another guy. But other than that, I don't think it needed a part two.
Like, Ant-Man already had three movies. I don't know why people were like, oh, no more Ant-Man movies. It's like, I mean, Ant-Man, the first one was pretty solid or good overall. The second one was not. And the third one was also not good. Those were going downhill like every single subsequent movie afterwards. No one wanted a Captain Marvel sequel. I don't know if you listen to fans anymore, but it's like, bro, like no one was clamoring for a Captain Marvel 2 when it just failed. And I mean, people understand the way that movie failed is in like such huge like capacity to the point where it's like, there's not gonna be a sequel to that. It literally is the biggest MCU like bomb ever. There's no way that we'd get a sequel to that. You know, it should have had a sequel in general. No one even really liked the first one, but you know, first one only did well because it was in between Infinity War and Endgame. So, you know, kind of how that works. So if your movie makes $1 billion, then you're going to just put a sequel to it.
I didn't mind Marvel. I think they should have done, if it was me, I would have focused more on just her and Monica Rambeau trying to get their relationship together and seeing what going into the bubble, what powers and learn her powers more. I had it more her Monica Rambeau kind of reconciling because there was a definitely split in their family. Then I think the Marvels would have been the third movie in Captain Marvel. I think they kind of did her like they did Black Widow. They kind of cheated her a little bit, I think. Well, and to me, the Kamala Khan, she stole the show. She made the movie good. If she wasn't in it, and it was that same plot, I don't think it would be very likable. But I really like the Marvels. Even though it didn't make a lot of money, but to me, I would go see it again in the movies.
Yeah, because the only MCU movies I haven't seen yet are Black Panther 2, that one, and Guardians 3. Those are the only three I haven't seen yet. I gotta get up to watching them. I think that's it for Marvel. Nothing else got announced in them. All right, so DC. Did you see Aquaman 2?
I did. It was very good. I thought it was good. And some parts I think it was better than the second one. There's a scene at the end where Aquaman and his brother reconcile. Mm-hmm. I think it's very cool. I usually go to like fast forward just to see that scene. And to me, it wasn't bad. It was enjoyable. I would go see it again in the movies.
Okay. Did you see Blue Beetle?
I did. Blue Beetle was very family oriented. Blue Beetle and Marvels had the same. Blue Beetle and the Marvels had the same thing. It was more family oriented. You know how they showed Kamala Khan and her family and the tight knit they were.
Yeah.
Blue Beetle had that same thing, but with the Hispanic family. Mm. And it was very. The bad guy was a little underwhelming. The Susan Sarandon was the bad guy, and then she had a henchman in they were kind of one note, just kind of like in the Marvels, the female woman, she was one note. So they have that in common. The bad guys were very one note, but the other parts of it was much better. The family dynamic in both movies were much better.
Because what's coming out for DC this year is Joker 2, and then there's the Creature Commando series that starts the new universe, actually. I don't know. The first Joker movie, I enjoyed it. I thought it was actually pretty good. I don't know about the sequel.
I heard the sequel's going to be a musical, so I definitely don't want to see that.
Big musical. Good Lord. Joker sings. I mean, but the thing is that
cartoon is okay because it is appropriate sometimes for cartoon.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see it in live action, not the whole 2-hour movie or however long it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think there's another one that looks good, the trailer. Have you seen the trailer for Wicked?
Yes. That's the one that the Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
I'm like, because she looks so evil as that witch. I'm like, yeah, I want to see that. But now if it's going to be a musical, I'm gonna have to wait on that. Musicals, like I was watching, going through my streaming services, and I saw, what's the thing with the man that sells the candy? Wonka. And I cut it off. So, well, I'm going to try this out. You got the first 20, 30 minutes of singing. I was like, nope. Dick. So, I musicals, I lose my. I can't do it. So,
guys. Because, like, there's nothing else for DC unless you're just watching the animated movies. And then, because the next thing for DC is just Superman Legacy, which is not Superman Legacy anymore. It's just called Superman, actually.
Yeah. I'm hoping James Gunn knows what he's doing, because if he does not hit a home run, he got to hit a home run. When I say a home run, it has to be, to me, it's got to make probably $600,000 or $700,000. I mean, $600 or $700 million. Mm-hmm. It's got to be number one in the box office, I think, at least 2 or 3 weeks consecutive. And it's going to have to do, at least, in my opinion, 75% Rotten Tomatoes critically acclaimed, 80 would be even better, but at least 80 plus, and the fan rating's got to be probably about 90 plus. If it hit those numbers, I think it'll do well over here, and I think China will get behind it. If it does well in China, then we'll see. I'll call it a success. But yeah, it's opening weekend. It makes only like, let's say, maybe 200. 175, 200. I don't know.
Yeah, the thing is, James Gunn's inheriting a DC universe that's kind of already been, a lot of fans have already given up.
But
the numbers and all these movies have been bad. Like Aquaman's numbers were horrible. They were bad. But, you know,
the first one wasn't. It's only $1 billion movie, but the second one, yeah. And I think that's not because of Aquaman. I think it's because the culture we're living in now. I think also Amber Heard had a lot to do with it. All that drama she had with Johnny Depp had a lot to do with it. The fact, too, that he's all excited about playing Lobo and kind of taking some of the energy from Aquaman and transferring it to Lobo. And then James Gunn kind of shot himself in the own foot because I would not have gotten rid of Henry Cavill. I would not have gotten rid of Aquaman. I mean, Jason Momoa. Mm-hmm. I would not have gotten rid of, who plays Wonder Woman? Gal Gadot. Because... This is the example I'm going to use. If I'm a football coach, and I got Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and let's say who's a good running back in their prime, whatever running back in their prime, and I inherit that, I'm not going to get rid of them because, well, I didn't draft Tom Brady, I didn't draft Randy Moss, I didn't draft Christian McCaffrey, so I'm going to get rid of them and then draft my own. No, you got 3 Hall of Famers on your team, but 2 for certain, and 1 going to be 1 when he retired. So to me, I would have made some chicken salad out of that so-called chicken S-H-I-T. I would have got rid of Henry Cavill, definitely, because a lot of fans want to see Man of Steel 2. I know I definitely want to see Man of Steel 2. A lot of people want to see another Justice League, where we see Darkseid. Now, it may be another 4 or 5 years, even if he's even going in that direction, because he could go the direction of Brainiac, or he could go the direction of Bizarro. But you got a character that people want to see, and you could have kind of sort of steal some of MCU idea and say, look, we already see Darkseid in here. Let's do another movie, and then we'll show him another end scene credit. Then each movie, we're going to work up to going back to Apocalypse, and then Superman, the Justice League getting together, and they go to Apocalypse, or either he comes here and attack, and we see Superman go one-on-one with Darkseid. That's what I would have done. But I don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, I think he was looking at it from an aspect of, like, that failed, so let's just start something brand new. You know? Because he wants it to be, like, in his own vision, which, you know, they were a part of something that didn't work at all, really, you know?
I don't think it was them. I think it was
the director. But the direction, it was definitely Zach and, you know, Warner Brothers as a whole. Like, you hear how Zach talks about the way Batman should be, and it's like, he just does not understand Batman whatsoever. That guy's just...
Well, let me ask you this. If you're a contractor, mm-hmm. and you come in and another contractor that just didn't do... He didn't do a good job, and the clients fired that contractor. But they bought all the materials. They got good wood. They got good nails. They got good paint. Are you going to throw away all that paint? Or are you going to work with what you got?
It's a tough one, man. Because, like, remember, if you use that person's tools, then technically everyone's just going to give credit to that person, though.
I'm not saying using the tools. I'm saying you use the material, the raw material that's there.
Yeah, because won't most people give the credit of what you just did to the other person because you use their raw materials?
No.
Okay. You don't think so?
No, I went there, but I'm a bad interior director, interior designer. But I got good wood. Mm-hmm. I got good paint. I got good sidewall. I don't know, what you call the thing?
Drywall?
Drywall. I got all that good stuff there. But I'm taking my tools. I'm taking my personal vision, and I'm going. But now they say, okay, Swag, you come in here with your vision. You use the same wood, these same nails, the same drywall, the same paint, but you do it the way you want to do it. You're not going to throw all that good material away and go back to Lowe's and buy the same material that you already got. That makes no sense.
Because I think, because most people that I've been around, they were asking for a reset. Because nothing really in that universe is working anyway, though. You know, because like there wasn't really direction. In direction of, like, what were they trying to do with the characters for the most part? Like, I think I told you this last time. I wasn't a huge fan of Henry Cavill as Superman. I thought he was pretty bland for the most part. Okay. I've seen him in other stuff, too.
I can answer that. Okay. A lot of people, a lot of fans, according to what I'm hearing, you correct me if you're wrong, they didn't this dark Superman that Zack Snyder had. Zack Snyder usually leaned more to the darker version of something than the black version. They could have reset this whole thing like they did with The Flash. So, and like they did with Black Adam. We see here in the camera at Black Adam, he doesn't have on that dark suit. He has on the bright red suit. His hair looks a little bit more different. So they could have said, okay, this is a different Superman. When The Flash went back and reset the DCU, we get this Superman that looks more like Christopher Reeves. He's not dark like the Zack Snyder Man of Steel Superman. And they could have gone from there. And it's not Mr. B.
Because I can also agree that maybe under a different director, he could have done something different, actually. That's very possible, you know. I just think I think maybe they just wanted to make sure they got rid of the entirety of Zack Snyder's influence on the universe. Cause, like, man, I was going through I know I've seen all of those movies except for two of them. I haven't seen Blue Beetle or Aquaman 2. I've not seen every single one of them. It was a universe where there was a lot more that could have been there. You know, because you look back and you're like, nothing.
But people aren't going to go. They aren't going to support it when you come in and take over and say, well.
Oh, yeah.
Blue Beetle's here and Aquaman too, but we're killing them. Their universe is not going to be anything. And as soon as they drop, I'm going to reboot the entire universe. Unless you're a diehard fan like us, geeks or a comic book.
Most fans get tired of that and they stop supporting.
What?
Yeah, because most of the fans stopped supporting these movies. I mean, if you just with the exception of Aquaman, most of these movies started making a lot less money starting with like Justice League. Justice League failed. The Josh Joss Whedon version they hadn't put out. That one bombed the box office. I remember outside of Aquaman 2, Aquaman, the first one, like it was 2018. So yeah, Shazam, that one didn't do so well. Wonder Woman 84 didn't do so well. Like a lot of them were just, people were just losing interest in the universe. Like, because then because dude, you know, like who, I don't know what was in their brains to try and sell them on Birds of Prey. Like most of the ideas they were trying to do work when you have like an established like front of characters. No one cares about Birds of Prey to the point where you need a solo movie for that. Like ain't nobody trying to watch that, you know?
Yeah, I fell asleep on Birds of Prey.
Like Black Adam, I don't think Black Adam is terrible, but I don't think Black Adam's a character where he can't hold his own thing. I think he's better with fighting somebody else, being someone else's villain.
Black Adam should have been the third Shazam.
Yeah.
They should have done that. Yeah. The first Shazam should have been just Dr. Savannah, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
And then the second Shazam should have and Shazam should be able to defeat him by himself. The second Shazam should have been he introduced the Shazam family because they, if at the end of the first Shazam, we see that they're all sitting in the Rock of Ages and they say, who does that seat belong to? Mm-hmm. And it's the seven of them, and then Shazam, Black Adam has the eighth chair.
Yeah,
that could have been I went into Black Adam. Then the third, at the end of the second Shazam, when he has the Shazam family, then that's when they'll start learning about, well, there's someone that's even worse than us. When they defeat the three sisters,
yeah,
well, you maybe defeat us, but there's someone out there that's just as powerful as you are, and And then we see the woman that was in the Black Adam movie free him from his cell.
Yeah, that'd be a nice segue.
He'd be like, "Huh?" And he'd be like, "There's, I'm ready to get. Where's the Wizard Shazam or something like that?"
We could have, and then
we could have been Black Adam 3. Then when they defeat Black Adam in this one, then that way we could introduce like they did with this. Well, Superman, or Black Adam. It's been a long time since the world's been.
Yeah.
Word. They could have done all that, and it would have run so much smoother. Black Adam should not have had his own solo movie, but a lot of that was
Blue Beetle, dude. Like no one really knows about Blue Beetle like that. The Blue Beetle that I know was Jaime Reyes. I know Ted Kord's the first one, but I first saw Jaime Reyes in the DC animated universe. It was the Justice League versus Teen Titans movie. That's where I first saw Jaime Reyes. I'm like, but people don't know that guy. Like, the reason why their movie started failing is because they started putting out movies for characters nobody knows about. Not even average comic fans care about those
characters. I think they did that to kind of pander to the Hispanic culture. Because I saw a lot of Hispanic YouTubers were talking about it. They liked it because I think George Lopez, to me, he stole the show on when I watched it. He's one of my favorite characters. And then a lot of that was pandering. They're like, yeah, we might get this. And it was a bad idea. Well, it just enough that, like you said, enough to know about it. The Hispanic geeks like us, they knew about it and they went to see it. And if you go back and watch when that first came out to all the YouTube channels, it got a lot of coverage, but not enough to be successful.
What else came out? Oh, for Shazam 2. Well, Shazam 2 failed. And to be fair, I love the first Shazam movie. That's my favorite one out of all those movies. But the first Shazam movie, you don't really even need a sequel to it. Because, like, you know how people talk about it.
It didn't make sense. Okay.
It's just not a good movie. I thought it was pretty bad, honestly, dude. I watched it. I was like,
two things didn't make sense. It wasn't, I didn't hate it, but it didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. They find this library and well, three things that make sense. One of the Shazams find his library that has all this knowledge and stuff, and he don't tell nobody. They find out halfway in the movie. Second, they got this pen that you ask this pen whatever you want to, and it tells you this answer. So, superpower witch sister, god sisters, why would you not ask the pen, how do we defeat these people? They only ask the pen, who are these people? If I'd been like, okay, who is Swag King? Oh, he's this for little. He lives in California. Blah 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 blah. How do I defeat him? That's the next thing I'm saying. What's his weakness?
Remember when one of the girls, she can mind control someone to tell them what she wants? Why did they need to tell the wizard that? Why did they need the wizard to tell them who Billy was? They could have just went up. Because remember, Rachel Zegler's character already knew who that was by how she was interacting with his brother. Why didn't one of them just go up to Billy, not Billy, his brother, his stepbrother, and ask him, who is this? Well, why did they need the wizard to tell him that? No need at all.
I think they need the wizard to put the stick back together, the staff back together.
You're right.
He wasn't going to put the staff back together, but then they mind controlled him and then made him use his magic to put the staff back together. But the third thing was he used his super speed and he was faster than she was, and he took that staff from her twice. So if the staff can take your power, why not take the staff and zap her and take her power? Yeah.
Also, you know what made me angry in the movie is because the first one, you really got the wholesome feeling between the adult and the kid, and I really love that. The second one, you see Billy, the kid version, for like 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. He's like a minute in the movie. Mm-hmm. There's literally, I'm not saying there's too much of Shazam, it's bad, but it's like there's such an imbalance. That dude, that's like us watching a Batman movie and we see Bruce Wayne for like a minute. We'd be like raging out. That's stupid, right? It's a big part of the character, you know.
I don't like the way Zach, the guy that plays Shazam, he was too goofy and childish.
There was not a balance. If there was a balance of the kid to him, it would make a lot more sense. But there was just too much him.
The live action Shazam that I watch, and even the cartoons, he was a little bit childish. But in Black Adam versus Shazam versus Superman, in that, he was not childish when he was Shazam.
Like he's like witty. He'll throw a joke. Yeah, you know?
but he's like totally goofy.
Yeah.
At Shazam.
Did you watch I think the last time we talked, it was before The Flash. Did you watch The Flash?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it? I thought it was not good.
No. The only thing I liked was Michael Keaton's version of Batman.
Wasted him, man. Because he he's Batman. Yeah, fight scenes were good.
That's what I'm talking about, the fight scenes.
Yeah, the fight scenes were good. I feel like wasted him, honestly.
I wasn't a fan of the Supergirl. I don't know, everybody was like, oh, she's so hot. She's this.
Right? I thought she was so bland. I thought she was bland. She was literally, to me, just like Henry Cavill. I said, she was just a female version of what that was. She's from the Days of Our Lives. That's a soap opera actor. So I'm not expecting quality performance out of her.
The only thing I liked was, like I said, Batman, his scenes when they went to Russia and in the kitchen, and where his explanation of how time travel works was better than Bruce Wayne's in Endgame. Bruce Banner's in Endgame. So I liked that. Well, that's what it was. The rest of the stuff was crapola.
Yeah, it's a terrible movie. Like, because you know who Flash is to a certain, you need Reverse Flash. You need Reverse Flash.
You gotta have Reverse Flash. I was watching.
Did you have people tell you that for a first superhero movie like his, you can't have his main villain? I'm like, what crack are you smoking? Plenty of first superhero movies have had their main villains in them. Plenty. Yeah, we have Batman. Several.
Batman had a Joker. First, 1989.
Right.
Batman.
Eugene Hackman and Superman the movie. First ones.
Yep. Let's loop.
Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, Green Goblin. Captain America, Red Skull. Aquaman had both of his in his first movie. There's no anybody tries to tell you otherwise, he's capping out their ass. Yeah, crazy. Look at them liars, man.
That's the one thing I like about the Flash, the TV series on the CW they Reverse Flash. That guy who plays in Reverse Flash.
Oh, Tom Cavanaugh.
He is awesome. I went back and watched the last season. I never watched the last season of Flash last week.
Yeah.
And I see how it ended, man. They had him, Godspeed, Zoom, and what's the other one?
Savitar,
all in one. I was like, man. So, it was.
It's crazy how a TV show treated the Flash character better than the live action movie. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Pretty crazy.
The effects were better. Stories was better. There was some sort of a little bit off the wall and kind of off the rails a little bit. But for the most part, I was a fan of the Flash, CW fan all the way.
What about last thing we'll talk about before you have to head out soon? Star Wars, actually. Did you watch any of the recent Star Wars shows like Ahsoka?
Like Ahsoka was good. I thought Kenobi was good. I like both of them. I'm watching Bad Batch. I'm not mad at Bad Batch. I saw the trailer for the Acolyte and I love it. Because I was just saying this tonight. I want to say this on your show. Star Wars fans make me sick. When I say about it, they say they make me sick. for the simple fact I've heard several say on different channels that we're tired of seeing the Skywalker family. They need to get away from the Skywalker family. They need to do something different. They need to go back to the old formula where we see lightsabers, where there's a Sith and then there's a Jedi. Okay, this trailer, there's nobody on that trailer, in that trailer, that I see that I recognize from any book at any time period or anything, whether it's canon, whether it's not, is whatever you want to be. I don't know recognize anybody on there. There's no sign of a Skywalker anywhere in sight. We see there's a Sith, the protagonist, and we see several Jedi. In the last 30 seconds of the clip, we see about 15, 16 lightsabers versus just one red lightsaber. So they're giving you what you've been arguing and wanting and clamoring for, and you still moaning, groaning, and complaining, saying, it's meh, it looks like trash. How can you look at something for a minute and 30 seconds and say, it's meh, it's trash, I'm not going to go see it? That blows my mind. At least watch the first episode so you can have somewhat of an informed decision without just jumping on the hatred train just for the sake of jumping on the hatred train.
That's what I always do. Because, you know, people always tell me that if someone that they trust, like their opinion, they'll kind of maybe check something out. I never really function like that. I would always go, hey, if whatever I saw from any trailer, or if I'm not interested in the franchise in general, when we get something new, I'd be like, oh, I'm not interested. I don't really care for it. But I would never go like, I'm not watching this because someone else's opinion I trust said it was bad. I would always go check it out myself because
it depends on.
Even if we both come to the same conclusion, we don't like it. For me to not like it from my own point of view about things that I would not like, you know, because we might like or dislike certain things, you know.
It depends on the IP. Like, I like Ghostbusters, but I'm not in love with it. And like, three of my fellow YouTubers went and saw it that we're on the show with, and they say it's meh. So I trust them, and because I'm not a big fan, I don't think I'm going to go spend my $10. If I was a big fan of it, like I'm a Star Wars, I don't care if you come and say, Danny, I don't know, it wasn't for me. I'm still going to see for myself because I'm a Star Wars fan. It's more important to me. Just like Kong versus Godzilla is important to me. I want to go see that.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
I want to see Planet of the Apes when it comes out. So those are things I'm going to go see for myself. But if it's something that I really don't care about, I'm kind of indifferent. Then if someone that I trust and that I rock with, and they say, Danny, I don't know, you might want to wait to see it comes on streaming service, then chances are I will, because my time and my money is very precious, and I don't want to feel like I'm wasting either one of them.
Yeah, and this is something I told you last time, and I'll say here. I told people after I felt like I didn't get a good rock with Boba Fett or Obi-Wan Kenobi, I was like, I'm just done watching Star Wars stuff. Until the only thing Star Wars I told you that's what I consume is just the Darth Vader comic books, actually. So I'll get those in like trade paperbacks. That's it. That's the only thing Star Wars I consume at all is just Darth Vader comic books from.
You check out Ahsoka. I think you like Ahsoka.
I can't even get on what people are talking about the Acolyte trailer because I didn't care. I'd be like, I agree with you. It's like, if people already say it's bad and say it's not going to get better, what's the point of checking out anything more from them? If it's not going to get better from your opinion, why care about it? A new trailer drops stores, and I'm like, I don't care at all. I'm good.
I think those people that say they don't care, knowing that it probably gets those clicks and gets whatever that traction that they want. I don't go on YouTube trying to make money. If I told you what I make, you probably bust out laughing for the number of years I've been on here. I don't do it for that. I do it because I love content. I love this platform. I love if I want to talk about something, I can get on here and talk about something instead of being one of those what I call armchair quarterbacks and be like, man, my YouTube show, I be saying this, I be cussing like this. No, that's why I get on here, because there are some things that I feel like I want to talk about, and there are some people I feel like I want to talk to that I jive with and I can get on with, rock with. So that's why I do it. I don't do it to get a paycheck. I don't do it to because if I was to survive on what I make here, I'd be eating
beanie
on Spam and out on the street somewhere. So I do YouTube because there are certain things I want to do. Now, particularly that I have a more spiritual life, it is I call it a ministry that I do. And I try to minister to people. And I mean, you don't have to watch what I do. I'm a proponent of it. Look, if I don't want to watch something, I'm not going to watch it. So that's how I feel about anything. And if someone's not feeling what I'm doing or what I'm saying and they don't want to watch it, not gonna hurt my feelings because I'm still gonna do what Danny want to do, just like you're gonna do what you want to do, and like everybody else gonna do what they want to do. So,
yeah, and
just to watch something and hate it all the time makes no sense to me.
Yeah, because that's the thing is, I think a lot of the certain stuff that I've been consuming has not been that good, but just I disagree with the fact that everything's bad. That can't be a thing.
It's not.
There's no way that's a thing. Everything is bad.
I don't believe in this hero fatigue stuff, superhero fatigue. I believe it's just the quality of the writing has gone down, and
I think it's hand in hand.
Honestly, I don't think it's fatigue because I think a lot has to do with leadership, and a lot of it. What we see today is like. I'm a huge Michael Jackson Prince fan. To me, Michael Jackson could never reproduce another album like Thriller. He just can't because it's perfect. Prince could not, in my opinion, could not produce nothing better than Purple Rain because it's like his opus. You can't do it. And just like the first and second and third in MCU phases, it's going to be hard to produce from Iron Man to Endgame, something like that again. That's going to be really hard to produce. And if you're going to do it, you're going to have to sit down and plot it out and use the same patience and meticulousness. Is that even a word? It could be meticulous like you were when you did the first thing. You're going to have to plot Iron Man to the Hulk, then Hulk to Captain America, then Captain America to Thor, then Thor back to Iron Man 2, and then back to Captain America 2. You're going to have to plot like that. You're going to have to be very distinctive and make sure that your end scene credits make sense. It is, but sometimes now they just throw end scene credits just because we're expecting it. It doesn't necessarily make sense or tie into something. So when they do this phase 5, 6, and 7 or whatever phase is on, I think it's phase 5 now.
Yeah,
they're going to have to make sure that the dots connect. They have to make sure Kevin Feige is in there, and they're going to have to take their time. I think because of the pandemic, they were forced to put out too much content. And they put too much content, and that kind of oversaturated the superhero, which I guess you can call it fatigue, but I call it this oversaturation.
But now
they're taking a break.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see a next MCU movie until next year after this Deadpool and Wolverine. So
I think that's probably a good thing, too.
I think it is.
Yeah,
I think it is. Probably 2 years probably wouldn't hurt, especially that gives you time to line up the dots, make sure the dots connect. And then you'd be like, man, you can imagine 2 years of nothing. Then you one Saturday night, you watching the TV and you see Avengers, whatever it is, and you see.
You're like reminiscing about the good times, and you're looking at phase 4 and 5. You're like, how did it all go so bad? Yep. That's how I used to do it, too.
I got two words. Bob Chapek. That's what made it went back.
So I know I've had this conversation on the panel shows about this, too. So the thing that people usually lead into it, man, is more like, it's not superhero movie fatigue. It's bad movie fatigue.
Yeah, that's what it is.
To me, that's always been... Okay, so like when people are referencing superhero movie fatigue, to me, it's just superhero movies. Because, yeah, like that's a no-brain. That's like a non-explanational thing where it's like, yeah, bad movies exist. But if you look back in history,
everything runs a course. There was a time when all you could see
is Westerns.
Then it was martial arts. Yeah. Martial arts was on there for a long time.
Horror was really big for a while until
the action movies, like all that stuff. Everything runs its course, but guess what? It always turns back around. It always comes back around.
That's what I want to ask you. Do you think that? But eventually, that is going to be fatigue. Though, when you see something enough, you get kind of tired of it.
It's not fatigue. It just runs its course.
It's not as special anymore, though. Like you don't treat it the same. You know.
Just like this. I have a lot of suits. I got like over 12 to 15 suits. Every man, in my opinion, should have three suits they should definitely have in your closet. I don't care how old you are. You should have a black suit, a gray suit, and a navy suit. They never go out of style. They never get old. It don't matter what occasion you go, one of those suits are going to always be appropriate because all you got to do is change the shirt. Mm-hmm. White shirt. With a black suit, a blue shirt with a blue suit, pink shirt it'll go with all three. But you gotta have that base. It's never gonna go old. So there may be some times when you want to put some flair in there and have this checkered suit and this bright purple suit, like the Joker or green suit, whatever. That's gonna be the thing that's gonna play out. He's high, but you can always rely on that black suit, that gray suit, that blue suit. It's never gonna go out of style. And I think that's the same thing with movies. There'll be something there for a while that's gonna get your attention. It's gonna be there. Like I don't know if you remember this clothing used to call cross colors. You remember that?
Shoot, probably not. I don't think so.
Okay, cross colors. When I lived in California, it was the hot thing.
Yeah.
It was like bright, flamboyant colors, like bright reds, blues, oranges, whatever. And then Doc Martin boots. That used to be the thing. When I was in California in my 20s, you go to the mall, you find cross colors in every store. Mm-hmm. And they were expensive, but they were trendy clothes. So I remember, I bought like two or three outfits that had airbrush and stuff on it, cross color. Man, about 2 years later, you wear that if you want to, man. You look like a clown. I'm like, man, what you wearing? Because it was so bright and flamboyant. But 2 years in the past, it was good. But guess what? Guess what's still hanging around now? And I'm almost 55 years old now. You still see Levi's right here. Levi's ain't going nowhere. Levi's jeans have been around here since forever. Cowboy days. They ain't going nowhere. Levi's, Wranglers, them two pants, pair of jeans is not going anywhere. So I think that MCU or any genre, it's going to run its course, and there's going to be something that's going to be a flash in the pan type thing. But if they do good movies, it's going to come back around. They just got to take a break. It is right now. I would take a year and a half break, and then when I come back, and guess what? You could be the same way you were once again. But you just got to make sure when you come back, you repackage it, you refurbish it, whatever you want to put in front of it, got to make sure it's right.
Because I do think people got tired of the superhero genre in general. Because
when it was good, I don't think they would get tired of it.
Because I think when it was really special, most people went, I have to watch these movies right now, opening weekend. They don't want to get spoiled. But when you got so many of them, people started treating it like, well, I'll just wait till it hits on streaming, because you knew it eventually be on streaming.
But look how many Star Wars movies seen on Swag. I mean, people don't get tired of Star Wars.
Well, Star Wars has taken massive breaks in between the original.
That's what I'm saying. The pandemic is something we didn't even expect. And when the pandemic came out, they oversaturated
but that would cause fatigue, though, because giving people so much of what was a special thing would naturally tire you out of watching it. Like, all those shows we have to watch. Dude, we were waiting to watch those shows, you know, like on the opening night when they were dropping that, like, it'd be like 3 EST for you, like 12 for me. Yeah. We were really investing a lot of our time into this stuff. And at a certain point, I'm surprised we haven't got tired of watching it. We invested a lot into this stuff.
I think if it was good, because I'm going to give you an example.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion was fire. Fire to the eighth episode. I'm like, what are y'all doing? They were all perfect. The first through seven, they had. I've already heard several people say this is the best Disney Plus show I've ever seen to the eighth episode. And it went from an A plus to some people put in a C when they saw the whole package because it didn't stick the landing. Mm-hmm. They would give us good quality writing that sticks the landing and stuff. I don't think we'd get tired of it. Because
it's not just Marvel, it's, you know, DC. So it's a combination of, DC's putting out some really lackluster stuff constantly. And it's like, well, if the MCU is putting out lackluster stuff, I think there's an argument for both. You know, I think people disregard the whole thing, but they're not looking at the whole. Like, I remember you remember this interview that Emily Blunt gave a while ago where she said the reason why she didn't want to really be Black Widow in the superhero movies is because she felt like it was a genre that was just oversaturated. And a lot of people got on her about it, but it was like, no, the genre is generally oversaturated when it came to like CW stuff. You had stuff that Netflix was doing. You know, you like the Daredevil Punisher shows, right? You had the MCUs doing their own thing. You had Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You had DC doing all their stuff. It's like, you know, if people got tired of it, I wouldn't feel bad about that. Because like, there was a lot of it to consume, you know? And you said before, if the writing's not good with a lot of that stuff, then that's gonna make people go, well, what? Yeah. Why am I here? You know?
Yeah, when you see stuff like She-Hulk, total garbage. We see that kind of stuff. Then you follow it up with, some people talk trash about Echo, but Echo wasn't really that bad. But Echo did.
I'll be honest with you, dude. I haven't watched anything after She-Hulk.
Okay, Echo did stick the landing because some people, a lot of people said that she made Kingpin look weak in the end. You gotta watch it because if I tell you, you won't understand it.
Was it the same thing they pulled with like Kate Bishop?
No, she in the end she had some kind of Indian. It was crazy. It was some kind of it was some kind of Indian magic. That's all I can tell you what it is. And it gave her superpowers, and she was able to like impart some of the powers with her mother and other people. It was crazy. And then she had some kind of, to me, it was like a penance stare, like Daredevil does, like he can stare at you and make you see all your past crimes and transgressions and stuff. It was something along that line. I don't know, but like I said, the other episodes, like the fight scenes are fire. The fight scene she did with Daredevil was fire, but it didn't stick the landing. So when things don't stick the landing, it automatically gets into, oh, it's trash, it's trash, it's garbage. It can be exit the whole way through, but if it don't stick the landing, then when you get a bunch of those consecutively that start off good but don't stick the landing, don't stick the landing, don't stick the landing, then it puts a bad taste. And then combine that with oversaturation, and you're looking at a bunch of things that don't stick the landing, then that's when people get tired of it. But the actual,
even if it's not fatigue, I think it's definitely oversaturation, at least.
Yeah, so see, it's a double-edged sword, because when Disney Plus first came out, I remember the first year it came out, WandaVision, that was the only thing they really had that was new material. And people and YouTubers were complaining, why in the world would you have a streaming service and you don't have content to put on there? So guess what Disney Plus did the next year? They put a buttload of content on there. But then people were like, well, we didn't ask for this. We didn't ask for that. Yes, you did. Go back in the first year when they only had that one show get off the ground and they only had WandaVision. Mm-hmm. You specifically said, why would you have this a streaming service and not have fresh content? Then they give you fresh content more than what you want to handle, then because they're trying to rush and not really preparing the product. Then you're complaining. So you can't have it both ways. Either you want the content or you don't want the content. Now, being the fact that I'm a content creator, I should take the time and make sure that the stuff I'm putting out is worth putting out, and I should make sure I dot my I's and cross my T's. But they didn't do that because they felt the pressure of, okay, these people want content. Add on, we got a pandemic we don't know nothing about. People are dying left and right. Add on top of that, we done spent millions and millions of dollars in this movie and these movies we done made, and now ain't nobody going to see them. So what are we going to do?
Because I think that goes into the hand of what you were saying. It's like, well, all that content they're putting out, a good amount of it, because I know I've consumed a lot of it. Yep. For me personally, it's not hit. And I know a good amount of people that don't think that either. And it's like, if you put that much content that's not hitting, it's like, you know, people are literally debating now, why would I go to watch a movie when I know it's going to drop on streaming? The other problem, the reason why movies have been doing so well is the streaming aspect. They know it's going to hit there. Because we know this, if a movie fails opening weekend or about 3 weeks in, they'll put that on streaming instantly.
Yeah.
Then what's the point of going to a theater then? Like you said before, like, why should they get your money?
Because if you're a YouTube if you're a content creator, you have to go and see it because you have to have
friends. But outside of that, if you're like a family man, like if you didn't do YouTube and you're just a family guy, you're like, you know.
It doesn't make sense. Economically, it wouldn't make sense. But one thing what Disney Plus should do and what I would do, and I've been saying this for a while, there should be a, like, baseball. You follow baseball?
I follow, but the MLB format, right?
All right, yeah. There's minor leagues, and then there's Major League Baseball. Yeah. So if you're not instantly, the stuff, you're going to go to a minor league team and get developed. These B characters and C characters that we don't know nothing about, like Echo, Blue Beetle, those type characters, they should be on the Disney Plus shows. Then that should be their testing ground. If you get a favorable reception from the audience, then maybe we'll pull you up to the big leagues, pull you up to the big show. But the big characters, like the established characters like Iron Man, like Thor, like Captain America, those are the movies they need to focus on. But what it should do is make sure the TV shows on Disney Plus lead us into a movie, just like how WandaVision led us into Multiverse of Madness. The Disney Plus TV show should set up the upcoming movie. Like, I'm going to do Daredevil, say, for instance, Daredevil full feature. Then I should play Echo, and then Echo and the Kingpin, whatever they're going to do, that should lead up to the Daredevil movie. It's a transition. They don't use that right. They only do that for a few movies. The only movie I can think of that did that was two movies. They did that for WandaVision. It went to Multiverse of Madness. And Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going into Captain America 4. So they need to, if it was me, I would have the format that whatever in between those movies that's going to urge me into the big screen movie, I'm going to put these no-name characters or these B and C characters that no one knows about that don't deserve their own movies. And then
that's what I've always said, too. Like that's what the TV show should have been for. It should have been for characters that...
Like Moon Knight, that nobody really cares about and they're not going to do with it. Eternals could have been a TV show instead of a movie because nobody really
asked. That's crazy, man. Eternals was destined to fail because the only thing I know about Eternals, even from my comic knowledge, the Jack Kirby run that people like talk about, that it was when Eternals came out, when I remember looking through history, no one even liked them then. So if no one liked them then, why would you make a movie about them? And we know why. They thought they could do the Guardians of the Galaxy effect again. They thought they could just get a random director, put a random group of characters no one knew about, and they literally thought they could do Lightning Strikes twice with Guardians. That's the reason why they did it.
They did a lot of from what I was told, I've never read an Eternals comic book.
Me neither.
Race swapping in there was some gender swapping in there as well. So,
Like even if you like those characters, they got all race and gender swapped. You're like, well, this ain't Eternals to me. But last few things I'll ask you. First thing is, you got any big plans for yourself and your YouTube channel coming up this year? Actually,
I just want to put out more spiritual content. I'm developing a show now. It's going to be called This Is the Word. And I'm going to have it on Sundays. What I want to have it on, I haven't designated a time, but I want to have different people from the spiritual world, from that aspect. And we talk about different parts of the Bible. I'm working on that now. I'm trying to get, I've already got my intro. I just got to find a particular music I want to put with it. And then I want to do that probably on Sundays and Sunday afternoon sometimes, what I'm looking for. And that's really what I'm focusing on. Chaos Central, where I stream with weekly with Anzo Hodges from Bigger Ford Entertainment and Chris Knight from the Real Review 3000. We do shows every Monday, usually at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As you know, I also stream with Guy Scar, DJ.
His Hangout Show,
on the Hangout. That's Wednesdays at 8. And every Sunday at 7 p.m. I go, me and Rob Stone, we've been streaming for years now, probably 4 or 5 years. Guy Scar, and DJ, we do that. And I just try to come from a more positive. And if you watch my videos, I always put on in my words, the glass is half full. There are two kinds of people. There are people that look at a glass and say it's half full, and there's people that look at a glass and say it's half empty. I used to be the half empty person. Now I'm trying to be the half full person and look at things from a better, more positive perspective. And because YouTube is a very negative place. It's a double-edged sword. It can do a lot of good. And me being on here, I've reached out and become friends and associates with a lot of good people from all across the world, not only in this country, but all across the world. And so that's a good thing. But then I've also seen some people that are keyboard warriors. They say all this crazy stuff. They keep popping out negativity and that kind of stuff. And I try to stay away from that. I just want to try and be as positive as I can in whatever information and wisdom that I have in my 53 years on this earth. I want to share it. So that's what I try to do.
Any shout outs you want to give to anyone in particular?
I want to give a shout out to my boys, Anzo, my boy, Chris Knight, several people, Guy Scar, my boy, Rob Storm. Those are the main ones I stream with, DJ. Like I said, any one of those guys, you go to their channels and look at their content. They have very good content. I'll thank you again, Swag, for inviting me, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man.
Audience, different audience. I want to try. Yeah. I want to get, and I know I'm praying for it. I want to get 10,000 subscribers by the end of this year. Needle's not moving much, but I know that if I keep doing what I'm doing, I definitely believe God's going to make a way, and he's going to make that happen. But I'm just trying to crunch out that material. Like I said, I stream every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you type in The Road to Wisdom or Danny Graham, it should pull you to my channel. Please subscribe and check me out.
Yeah, my main channel, trying to get that to 900 subs. But as I said before, I'm putting out the stuff that I want to put out on that channel. I have a few announcements myself. Actually, I've been I had a lot of good stuff planned myself. You know, and I told people, hey, you know, this is what I've always said. We might disagree or agree, but I'm not trying to be someone where, like, you know, I'm not trying to be some authoritative figure over someone or someone's opinions. If I go see a movie and you like it and I don't like it, that's the beauty of it. That's how it should be.
That's how it works. That would make the world go around.
Before, we were going to do a review of The Long Halloween coming up this Wednesday, actually. It's one of the best Batman books ever read. I would lick these pages if I could, but I like, you know.
Have you watched it on
Batman movies? Yeah, I did. I watched those. Yeah. They were.
You watched the one Batman Gaslight?
Talking about Gaslight? Yeah, I did. I haven't read the story yet, but I didn't mind the movie. I watched the movie.
Yeah, because Jim Gordon was the bad guy. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, those Elseworld DC stories are pretty cool. I like them. I'm going to get the Injustice Omnibus very soon because I want. That Injustice movie that came out was.
Wasn't very
good. That's. Oh, God.
Preach. I think the worst one I've seen was when Batman went to Japan. It was something.
It's about Batman Ninja. Yeah.
I did not like that one. I was like,
everyone knows one of my top five Batman stories ever written is the Batman Hush Story comic book. That movie, whenever, because we're going to do a big project where we're going to like review like a good amount of those DC old anime movies into that universe too. Oh my God, I can't wait to get to that one because that one is so bad. You do not turn a character into another character like that. That is just borderline disrespectful.
Yeah.
That is like freaking Frieza.
The killing joke, the ending of the killing joke, that's very controversial too.
Oh, I have that book.
I've seen the movie. I never read the book, but.
Oh, no, the movie. Okay, so for me with the movie, whenever it got to the part that it was just the book, it was fine. The filler anime stuff they did with Barbara and Batman, I thought that was pretty bad. Because, if you go back and watch that scene of them fighting each other where Joker's telling him all that stuff, and he's like, normal people don't crack. It's just you. It's like, there is some good in there. I think people massively overshadowed the good in it because the Barbara stuff was so bad. Like, that Barbara stuff was worthless if you watch the movie. It means nothing.
And when they laugh at the end, a lot of people didn't like that.
Oh, because originally that story was supposed to be an Elseworld story. It sold so well, they pulled it into main canon, actually, from what I've heard. So, you know, I thought he would just snap his neck.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I'm like, Batman, that's for the Joker? That don't make sense. But we should have heard something like, at the end, that would be cool.
I think originally he did do that, but they forgot they had retconned it, because, you know, comics do that a lot. But thank you, man, for coming on again. We'll see you again.
No problem, man.
Sometime soon. I think I messaged DJ to be on. I don't think he hit me back, actually.
I don't know. Me and DJ, we live probably an hour apart from each other. I didn't realize
that. Yeah. If you could put in a good word, I'll talk to him. I'll have him on and talk to him.
I'll do it.
All right. So, man, have a good day, everybody.